All right. Well, again, praise the Lord and welcome everybody to Open Arms Community Church. Those of you that are participating in today's service in our church family in Port Allegheny, those that are just watching online, we want to welcome all of you to today's service. We are in part two of a series called Insidious, addressing the subject of spiritual warfare. Why insidious? Well, if you look with me in your outlines at the definition of this word, insidious, it says that insidious means proceeding in a gradual, subtle way, but with harmful effects, treacherous, and crafty. And in this series, we are addressing spiritual forces of evil that we'll be talking about in a moment. And we, from Scripture, have come to understand that there is this insidious plot. There is a progressive procession, proceeding, and it is gradual. It is not something that is fanatical. It's not something necessarily hyper and in your face. It's a gradual, subtle strategy. And the intention of this is harmful, right? So, as we address this subject of Satan and demons and spiritual warfare, we have to be very careful that we don't exaggerate things, that we don't stray to the rut of hypersensationalism and melodrama. We're not here to be fanatical and flaky granola Christians, right? Fruits and nuts. Nor are we here to be humanists, where we just put all of our confidence in what we can see and touch and smell and hear and taste. It's interesting because while we walk around and call ourselves Christians, believers, people born of the Spirit of God, more times than not, we seem to engage life just like everybody else, totally focused on this temporal world and achieving success in a temporal world, building our kingdom in this temporal world, and relying upon the strength of flesh for that success and victory. And when we face trials and challenges, more times than not, it seems, we run first and foremost not to God, but to a doctor, to a lawyer, to a loan agent, to a counselor. Is there anything wrong or evil or bad about any one of those? No. But it's interesting that we who claim this oriented life around the Lordship of Jesus Christ relegate him to Sunday morning. And we spend the rest of our week operating really as though he didn't exist, other than that we are a little bit more moral than maybe we were before we became a follower of Jesus, right? So what we find, friends, is that there is this not just a spirituality, but that the truth is the cosmos, the world, the universe God created is more than just material. There is a spirit realm, a heavenly realm, that is actually far more real than this realm and this world. Because where this world comes to an end, it's temporal, it's temporary. The unseen world is eternal. So, this insidious plot, it's not what we think it is. It's not Russia against the United States. It's not the Democrats against the Republicans. It's something else altogether. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces, underline that phrase, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, last week, we took this and we unpacked it, we recognized that first of all, many of us are oriented towards this world and our trials and struggles, and we think our problem is our spouse, our child, our boss. And what the Bible is teaching us is there's something more to the picture. There is a devil. There is this enemy at work against us in our world. And we are to take a stand against him. But not only are we standing against the devil, we are standing for the Lord, right? But if it was just one guy, well, you know, there's over 7 billion people on the face of the planet, right? So, I mean, really, how many of us could he mess with at one time? However, what we see here, and I had you underline the phrase, is that there are spiritual forces, plural. So in your outlines, there are spiritual forces that are evil and at work against us. So today I want us to unpack who these spiritual forces, plural, are. And again, I want you to see with crystal clarity, as we saw last week, that like Satan, these spiritual forces of evil are evil. They aren't kind of sort of bad. They aren't our buddies that we go on vacation with. They aren't our pals that we pal around with when we close the doors and close the blinds and no one can see. They are not friends. They are enemies. And they are hell-bent on destroying you and all that you care about. And let me make it clear, it's not because you're so great and awesome and cool. It's for one reason and one reason only. Because Jesus loves you. God created you special and for himself in his likeness and in his image. It was his intention to have relationship with you. And because God has set his affection upon humanity and upon this creation that he created, Satan is totally focused on destroying everything that God loves. That is why. With this in mind, who are these unseen spiritual forces of evil? We talked about the devil last week. This week we're going to talk about these spiritual forces, plural, of evil. Why are we discussing them? Not to, again, lift them up or exalt them or ooh and ah over them. We have to be very careful about cultivating an unhealthy interest in the dark side of spirituality, in the demonic. Because when you and I enter into sensationalism and melodrama regarding the spirit realm, we develop a sense of awe. We develop this interest that becomes unhealthy, and Satan will exploit it. And the next thing you know, you are more focused on him than you are the Lord. But we do want to know our enemy. You cannot successfully engage and achieve victory over an enemy that you know nothing about. So we want to know, who are they, what do they do, and how do they do it, so that we can successfully and effectively engage and overcome. So this week, last week we talked about the devil. Who is he? What are some of the names and tactics he's known by? And we look at these so that we can better understand those questions. Who is he? What does he do, and how does he do it? So that we can start to find those fingerprints of Satan at work in our life and in our world, and we can address them. Not just passively and go, oh, well, there's the devil, you know, he's just trying to make a mess. No! Don't just sit back and let him wreak havoc in your life. Take a stand against him, amen? That's what it says to do. So who are the spiritual forces? In your outlines, when Satan rebelled against God, the Bible describes a large number of angels joining in the rebellion. Scripture describes about one-third of them, and they were all cast down to earth. Now, this is very important for us to understand that these spiritual forces of evil, which in a moment we will recognize the term demon, right? That these are angels that rebelled with Satan against God. It's important because in the arena of Christian faith, you get many distorted views on this particular topic. You get people that stray from what God's word clearly says, and they get into theory and hypothesis, and the next thing you know, they believe things that actually contradict Scripture. So there are people out there that believe that demons are the disembodied spirits of wicked men. Not true. They believe that demons are the spirits of creatures that were destroyed in a pre-Adamic world. Not true. I don't have time to address either one of those today. But here's my point, is that we have to be very careful to not say more than what Scripture says. And when you theorize and when you hypothesize, always make sure that you stay in alignment with what the Bible says. Because if you don't, not only do you end up in error, you malign the name of Christ. You tarnish the name of Jesus because people out there are looking for contradictions. They are looking for reasons not to believe, and we give them one every time we deviate from the soundness of what the Bible clearly says. Okay? So be very, very careful. So, these angels join in a rebellion with Satan. They are cast down to the earth. And these, in your outlines, these fallen angels are referred to by, again, various names and titles. Just as this devil is given multiple names and titles in Scripture, so are these other fallen angels. So, number one title that we're probably most familiar with this day is the name demon. Now, if you are reading older translations of the Bible, the King James Version and such, there some of the older translations translated the Greek word for demon into the word devils. So they just used the word devil in both places when they were talking about the actual devil and also when they were talking about demons. But the more modern translations have tried to stay more true and more accurate. And so what you find is that this word, daimon, they translate into demon. And the word demon here, and here's why you want to know what this word means, because it literally means to rip, split, or tear apart. One who devours. So understand that the presence and activity of these beings in your life, in your home, in your world, is not for anything good. They want to rip, split, and tear apart your life, your marriage, your family, your finances, your health. However, if given enough allowance in your life, they will literally do this to your body. So in the Scripture, when you find Jesus casting out demons from people, you will find the description that this one, the demon didn't tear him or harm him when it came out. Okay? So they literally will bring physical harm to the body. Again, we don't want to get into sensationalism or melodrama, but there are many, many stories of people who whose lives were wrecked by demonic activity. And for those of you that know the story of Nikki Cruz, you know, he grew up with a mother and a father that were witches, a witch and a warlock. And they were very open to the dark side of spirituality. They engaged demonic spirits and intentionally. And he described watching two demons fighting over the possession of his little brother. And they literally fought so violently over which one was going to possess this child that it killed the child. Now, always make sure our stories stay true to Scripture, right? Because there's lots of people, and we'll see this in a moment, that are having authentically spiritual experiences. They're just not authentically God, okay? So, demons are devourers. That's what we want to understand here. Now, it's interesting that in the use of this word demon, the Greek language has multiple words for spiritual entities. And one of the key words that you will regularly see in the Greek language is the word theos. Now, in mythology, theos, which is the Greek word God, was reserved for the central deity, the one in charge, the big kahuna, right? The king. While the Greek word daimon was reserved for the minor or lesser deities. And this is important because what it does is it gives us insight to the fact that there is some kind of rank structure in this camp of the enemy, this army of the enemy. Also important to note is the word demon also carries the sense of supernatural and superhuman. Understand, they are smarter, they are stronger, they are bigger and beyond this natural realm. And this is very important for you and I to recognize because you can't go read a self-help book to overcome this problem. No amount of education, no number of degrees on your wall is going to spare you or give you victory over this particular enemy, because it's not a natural enemy. They are supernatural, they are spiritual, and they are superhuman. There's only one way to overcome. And let me also say this, no amount of religious activity will spare you this demonic activity. In fact, there is story after story throughout the history of the church of people who gave lip service to God, attending religious services and saying prayers, reciting prayers and chants and so on, lighting candles and doing all kinds of religious ritual in order to spare them the demonic activity. In fact, the holiday that our nation is about to celebrate, Halloween, was birthed out of a Christian practice of celebrating All Saints Day, where we would celebrate the lives of those who had lived faithfully for Jesus and gone on before us, and they're in the arms of God right now. But they would cut out lanterns and put on little spooky faces in order to ward off the demons. Really? Like, what goes through our heads sometimes? We start listening to superstition and let it start to guide us, and we allow ourselves to become duped and robbed of the very victory that has been achieved for us. And so we live our lives as Satan's whipping boy and whipping girl, just pushed around and beat up all the time. And that is not who Jesus made you to be, and it is not what Jesus achieved for you. He didn't just achieve eternal rescue, where you get to escape hell and gain heaven. He achieved victory. All authority, he said, in heaven and earth have been given to me, and now I delegate it to you. More on that later. Number two, demons, as we call them, are also referred to as unclean, impure spirits. And depending on what translation you are reading, you'll either see the word unclean or you'll see the word impure. And what it means is morally lewd or dirty, morally dirty. And this gives us insight to their activity in our lives, where all of a sudden we become perverse. We become distorted versions of humanity. We become confused on what is right and what is wrong, what is fun, what is cool, and what is boring and dull, right? And God warns us, if we fall for these lies, these deceptions, if we lose our bearings and we embrace the moral compass of these impure, unclean spirits, he says, woe to you. Woe to those who exchange darkness for light. This is Isaiah chapter 5. Woe to those who exchange darkness for light, good for evil, bitter for sweet. What's he saying? He's saying, woe to you who become confused on what is right and what is wrong. And this is exactly one of the direct influences and effects that these demonic forces have in our world, is we become morally bankrupt. And all you got to do is look around in society. We are sexually immoral. We use our words to hurt instead of help. We think on corrupt, perverse things, not only in a moral sense towards others, but even in how we view ourselves. We demean and degrade and tear apart our very own value. We buy into the lie that I am special and I am important and I have worth only to the degree that I am above somebody else, or how, to whatever degree I compare to them. I mean, Satan is just always stirring. These demons are always at work to bring this moral corruption, this moral dirtiness. Think of how we entertain ourselves and the things that we laugh at anymore, right? Where do we think the name dirty joke came from? So impure and unclean spirits. Another name that they are known by in Scripture is simply evil spirits. And again, giving us understanding to their motive, to their nature, and their intention. They are evil. So when you and I entertain the idea of playing with them like they're a friend, a Friday night party pal, a weekend or vacation buddy, we're fooling ourselves, because there's nothing good about these creatures. And whatever place you give them in their life, remember, they're evil. And they only want to bring a tearing. They only want to bring harm. They are also known generically, number four, as spirits. The word spirit here is the generic word for spirit. It means breath or wind, literally, but is frequently used to refer to celestial creatures or beings. So whether they are referring to spirits that are good, we call those angels, right? Or even God is spirit. God is pneuma. Here, the context gives us understanding that we're referring to the demonic. The context tells us that these generic spirits, pneuma, are the bad ones. Now, what this tells us is simply, is it's a reminder that we're dealing with the spirit realm. We're not dealing with enemies of flesh and blood. We're dealing with spirits that are at work against us. So don't be unbelieving. Don't be so quick to put your confidence in the best practices and principles that the world will tell you to invoke in your life. Don't be quick to rely upon the arm of flesh as your strength and mere mortal understanding, because when you're dealing with these spiritual forces of wickedness, you're dealing with spirits. And they aren't limited to the things you and I are limited to. These creatures are also known, number five, as messengers or angels of Satan. Now, here we're introduced to another Greek word. The Greek word is angelos, and it literally means messenger. It is transliterated into our English word angel. When you and I say the word angel, we are typically referring to a celestial being that is a good being. It is a God angel. However, the word angel literally means messenger, and so today, I am God's messenger. I am God's angel. See my halo? So you will find this word in the Greek language used to refer to people who are messengers as well. And context gives us understanding as to whether these angels, these messengers, are human, natural creatures, or celestial, supernatural creatures. Are they righteous and of God, or are they unrighteous and not of God, evil? And what we gain insight into is that, first of all, these are, again, fallen angels. Secondly, they are subordinate to Satan. They are messengers or angels of Satan. And thirdly, they bring a message. They bring a message. They whisper Satan's lies and deceptions into our lives, into our hearts and minds. And we have to be on guard. That's why Scripture tells us to hold tightly to God's word, to saturate and immerse our life in God's truth, and to be alert and on guard for your devil, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Don't take this lightly. Number six, they are referred to symbolically as snakes and scorpions. Again, to encourage us to understand that they are sneaky and they are deadly. Even a little scary if you are inclined to be afraid of serpents or scorpions. Number seven, they are identified as those who manifest as the spirits of the dead or as ascended masters or guides. So for those that are into spiritism and they are trying to get in touch with departed loved ones, they are being duped, according to Scripture. They are being tricked into thinking they are talking to their dead husband or grandfather, but in fact, according to Scripture, those people are dead and gone, either to be in the presence of God or to be in a place nobody wants to go, hell, where they await further judgment. There is no lingering and hanging out in this world. And Scripture identifies that these demons will manifest and appear as the spirits of dead loved ones, but they will also manifest as ascended masters. For those people that have moved beyond spiritism and have engaged in the other cult activity known as the New Age religion, and they are either through meditation or through the use of drugs, they will have these out-of-body experiences, and they will meet with these ascended masters and get guidance and understanding. And friends, Scripture warns us against such activity and tells us the origin of that experience. Number eight, they are identified as the celestial beings behind the worship of idols and false gods. So when you and I see people bowing down to statues, or not even bowing down, when you see people who have good luck charms and they put these icons in their home or their restaurants or whatever, and they hope that these will, by offering sacrifices or prayers or whatever, our hope is that they will bring good luck into our lives, good fortune. Friends, the Bible is crystal clear that the spiritual forces behind these so-called gods, the spiritual forces behind these idols, are in fact nothing else but demonic forces. So It might be something as small as a cult. It might be something as large as the global religion known as the Hindu religion. When we cast idols, when we worship anything else other than God, when we look to anything else for blessing and for good fortune and favor other than Jesus, we engage in idolatry and we put our faith and our hope in spiritual forces other than God, spiritual forces of evil. Now, these people, I want to be clear, because if you talk to folks who engage in these religions, be it the New Age cults, witchcraft, religions such as Hinduism or Buddhism, friends, they all will tell you stories, and they are true stories, of spiritual experiences. And I want you to understand, they are authentically spiritual. They are authentically experiencing spiritual activity. It just is not authentically God. Number 9. Through their names and titles, we recognize they are referred to by ranks in the scripture. For example, legion, principalities, powers, rulers, and authorities, seeming to indicate, again, that there is some kind of hierarchy in this kingdom of Satan that he is in charge of. Now, one other thing that I want to address for those of you that would be so inclined to dive into the book of Revelation, which every baby Christian, excited about, and they see this amazing thing, and they see these prophetic statements about the future, and we start reading it, and then we get like totally freaked out. There is reference to a king demon known as Apollyon or Abaddon. One's the Greek word, Apollyon, the other is the Hebrew word, Abaddon. Apollyon is mentioned as being a king over the demons imprisoned in the abyss. And I want to just make reference to this, not because he's this intriguing, cool character. Remember, we don't want to ever enter into sensationalism or melodrama towards Satan and his buddies, because they're not cool. But what I want you to understand is that this creature, a fallen angel, is referred to, first of all, as a king demon, not the king demon, but a king over the demons in the abyss. Now, there are then, if you look in your outline, some fallen angels that are imprisoned in dungeons and chains of darkness in the lower depths of hell, also known as Tartarus in the Bible. Now, why is it that a certain select group of these fallen creatures, these demons, were picked out and imprisoned in this abyss is another topic that we don't have time to get into today. But what I do want you to know is that there is a group that were taken captive and imprisoned in this abyss in the lower depths of hell known as Tartarus, and that this creature, Apollyon, rules over them as king demon. However, he is not Satan, and it would seem he also is subordinate to Satan. So he's a king, not the king. And we know he's not Satan because while he is imprisoned and king over the demons imprisoned in the abyss, Satan is very clearly referred to as still being upon the earth and at work in the world. So not the same guy, okay? However, what this does mean is it makes Apollyon or Abaddon the only other named fallen angel in all of Scripture. So you have Lucifer, and then you have Apollyon, and that's it. All the rest of the demons are referred to either by their rank or by the generic terms of unclean spirit or impure or spirit or demon, okay? Now, let's address something else very quickly. Manifestations, the demons have many forms. We're going to talk more about manifestations next week. But manifestations of demons, a lot of times we might question, what is it that they look like? Well, they take on many forms. The Bible describes them as masquerading as angels of light, so they can take on this form of a pleasant, attractive, angelic creature. However, they also in Scripture are referred to as locust-like, frog-like, and even unearthly creatures, both beautiful and frightening. And I share this with you because a lot of times when we think of demons, spirits, or evil spirits, our first image that comes to our mind a lot of times is some perhaps black or red leathery figure with bat-like wings and, you know, glowing little slitty eyes. However, while there may be such a manifestation of demonic forces, understand that they come in all kinds of shapes and forms. And so don't get so stuck on the image. Focus on the intent. Focus on the fact that they are evil, all right? Now, in your outlines, like the devil, demons are limited creatures that will face final judgment and eternal damnation. So, like Satan, friends, they are not even a scratching of the surface when it comes to being equal with God. Not even close. All right? They're not omniscient. They don't know everything. They can't be everywhere all at once. And they are not unlimited in power. They are supernatural. They are superhuman. So compared to you and I, we may be awed and awed by what they can do, but they are no comparison for God. In fact, if you look at these scriptures that I give you as references on these, when it comes to this one, you will find that the demons are afraid. They're afraid of Jesus. They cry out and say, you know, Son of God, are you going to torture us before the appointed time? So note there's an appointed time. Jesus refers to hell being made for the devil and his angels. And in James chapter 4, when it tells us to submit to God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word flee means to run away as in terror, to run away scared. Demons, when they encounter Jesus Christ in the flesh and men and women of God who walk with integrity and righteousness before the Lord in the authority and power of Jesus' name, friends, they tremble. So many Christians walk around afraid and tiptoe, don't wake the sleeping dragon. This isn't The Hobbit. No. We need to grow, friends. In your outline, Satan and demons operate in the spirit realm that, though unseen, directly affects and engages our world. So many times we think, well, spirit world, natural world, and the two shall not meet. However, what Scripture describes is this weaving together, okay? A weaving together of natural and supernatural, spiritual and temporal, in such a way that they are not mirror but parallel and directly affecting and influencing one another. And we see in Scripture, for example, in your outlines, notice that they are the ruling authorities and influences in nations and peoples that are not submitted to the rule of Jesus. So in the Scripture, you'll have God address the natural ruler over a certain nation, for example, the king of the prince of Tyre, but then he'll address the spiritual authority over that nation, the king, he calls it, of Tyre. And the one is the natural ruler of that kingdom. The other was, in the case of Tyre, it was Satan himself. You'll find when the angel came to answer Daniel's prayer after 21 days of praying and fasting, the angel described that he was answering Daniel's prayer the moment the words left Daniel's lips, but there was resistance to that angel coming and answering Daniel's prayer by the prince of Persia, a demonic power that resisted him for 21 days. Very interesting. But they are the ruling authorities. This is why Scripture says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There are spiritual forces of evil at work behind these things. Do we have a crooked boss? Do we have an unfaithful spouse? Do we have, illness? There are many times, not every time, but there are many times where these are the influence of demonic forces. In your outlines, they are the source of evil enticement or temptation, as well as suffering and persecution. You can't read through the Scripture without realizing that this enemy does oppose us, but he does so oftentimes subtly, not through showing up as the enemy with a pitchfork and horns and a pointy tail, but rather through some very attractive enticement. We know it's wrong, but oh, it looks so right. And suffering, and of course, persecution, attacks against living out our faith. And friends, persecution isn't just Satan himself or demons themselves attacking you, but more times than not, they use natural circumstances to do it. They'll use people. They'll use shipwrecks, car accidents, individuals verbally attacking you, individuals arresting you and torturing you for your faith. But they don't stop there. Demons will also use you to persecute you. They will speak lies into your mind, and you will start to sit and wallow in self-pity and victimization, and you will embrace defeat. Your view will become negative, and you will become cynical and jaded toward God and your fellow man. And all the while, you think you're being rational, you're being self-defeating because you've been, again, tricked by Satan and his cohorts. Persecution isn't always without. Many times it comes from within. These demons are frequently the source of mental and physical illness. And we'll talk more about that and the many other manifestations of Satan and his forces next week. But I want to leave you with Mark 16. Because while we are talking about our enemy, who they are, what they do, how they do it, we're not here to glorify our enemy and exalt them. We're not here to sensationalize them. We're not here to be enamored and awed and awed at how wicked or how powerful they are. We're here to get a right perspective of them. And here's what Jesus said in Mark 16. And these signs will accompany those who believe. So we'll talk more about this in part four. But friends, do we believe? So many of us, we claim to be a believer, but most of what we say and most of the attitudes we have are more skeptical than they are believing. We got to be honest with this because we need to address the issues if we're really going to overcome. So those who believe in my name, they will, not they might, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. There's only one thing I want you to see in this text today. I want you to leave here today with hope. I want you to leave here today with confidence, faith. I want you to leave here today with a right perspective of your enemy. I want you to know who they are. I want you to know what they do. And I want you to know that not on your own, not by might or power, not by your grandiose intellect, but by the power and the authority of Jesus, you are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. Greater is he that is in you than he who's in the world. The victory is yours. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day, and thank you for your many blessings upon our lives. Lord, as we wrap up our time together, I pray right now your Holy Spirit will be moving in our life, in our hearts and in our minds, and that you will open our eyes to see the work of Satan and the work of demons, that we will no longer engage this world as though this is all there was, that we will no longer be caught up into the drama of this world as though we were just mere mortals, but that, Father, we would accept and embrace the reality that there is more, and we are a part of that more, that this world and our time in it is temporary, and that what we were created for is the more. All that is beyond this world, where we will spend the bulk of our existence. And I pray that you will help us to not only in this world and in this life draw near to Jesus, to embrace the rescue that he has provided, but that we would also embrace the victory, that we would no longer be pushed around and bullied by Satan and his forces, being constantly beat up and defeated in life, but that we would rise up and be the victors that you have created us to be and that you have provided for us to be. But not just for ourselves, Lord. I pray that we would do this so that we may share this victory with others, that we may help others enter into that freedom. So speak to each one of us now. Lord, you know where we're at in our walk with you. You know in what ways we take you seriously, and you know in what ways we treat God and our faith carelessly. Help us, Lord, to become a very focused, very intentional, very disciplined people that take serious this war that you describe us as being a part of. And Lord, may we experience a greater depth and degree of life to the full, a greater depth and degree of your presence and activity in our lives. And may we participate in a greater degree to the advancement of your kingdom and the rescue effort of those who are still held captive in the kingdom of darkness. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.